You will turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Wore this jacket. We're right on to spring, aren't we? I didn't know if I would need it or not. Sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's hot. And it's your thermostat gets all messed up. As we were going about and just considering the word of the Lord, considering about the Lord's churches, brothers and sisters that we know in different churches and different church circumstances that we know, and then our own experiences and blessings of the Lord upon us here at Olmsted Baptist Church, the Lord just really brought this passage and the content of this passage to heart and mind. I believe I've come to understand more that it is essential. It's an essential passage. Not that any passage is not essential, but this is essential equipment, if you will. This is essential instruction. There's a reason for that, and I think we find it here in this passage. And we're, Lord willing, in the next several services, as the Lord works and leads in it, we're going to seek our Lord's face regarding that, whether we might understand better and how it is the case. And so this afternoon's message will be connected to this, and then we'll be looking to break down this chapter here. And again, this message and the messages to come. This church at Corinth, they're in Greece. They're pagans, or were pagans. They were saved by the grace of the Lord, by the Lord's great working and sending a man, a missionary, to them. He was there with them for a long time, year and a half. Great contrast there, the ministry at Corinth compared to other places. Other places, it seemed like it was very short times that the apostle was there. But in this place, there was a long time that he was there. Year and a half. And the Lord saved. He took those old pagans that had a number of gods and old wicked worship associated with that, and then just revealing, doing nothing but revealing themselves and seeking their own hearts and everything. I mean, their souls were in control, their bodies were in control, and they chased after those gods. And no doubt most of them knew, as Pilate knew, and others testify in history, that what they chased after certainly was not satisfying. There was no satisfaction in a multitude of gods, because as Brother Paul saw in Athens, there on Mars Hill, that they always had a fear that they never got it all done. They never reached all the gods that they needed to reach, as was testified there to that memorial, that statue, or that place that they had, that monument that they had to the unknown God whom Paul preached to them. And that's the way it is with paganism. It never satisfies. Romans chapter 1 tells us about how far it takes a man and how far that path and that distance is from God. And so there's a, as he deals with the church there at Rome, he makes those things, reinforces those things into us. He deals with them and will not go through the book. I mean, I trust that you have maybe in your mind an idea of the book. You know, he introduces himself again. He is thankful for them. He talks to them, begins to talk to them about different struggles and strifes that they have amongst themselves. He deals with a problem that they have there in the church, or one of many. And in chapter 12, you know, he speaks to them concerning spiritual gifts. You know, they want the gifts. It's good to desire gifts from the Lord. We need to pray our Lord will help us and equip us and help us to understand how he has equipped us for his service and his ministry. And so here in chapter 12, this regarding spiritual gifts, chapter 14, he deals with prophesying and namely edifying of the church. You know, what comes out of our mouths, what we do, it's connected, of course, to our conversation. And he helps them with that. And so sandwiched in between the spiritual gifts and he wanting to show them something yet better, a better way, he says there in chapter 12, verse number 31, chapter 12, verse number 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. because there are some better than others, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He said, I want to show you where the heart of it is, and I think that that's what this chapter 13 gets to for us. Gifts are important, and they have their place. Everything has its place. It's not one thing to the exclusion of all else. But there is an order, there is a hierarchy, there is a level that's in here. We certainly need to be builder-uppers in the church, don't we? You know, so we're not talking about, he's not talking about throwing that away, but we need to make sure that we do have some things in place. In this chapter, in chapter 13 of Corinthians, it says in verse number 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, pardon me, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Well, we want to consider an overall theme to these messages is that the three that remain for the mature child of God. The three that remain for the mature child of God. I think that's what the passage is getting at. He talks here at the end in these latter verses. He talks about charity never failing. Prophecies will fail. Tongues will cease, and they have. There's knowledge. It'll vanish away. He says we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, and certainly we take that and we apply that to the Scripture. You know, we have the full revelation of God in the Scripture. But I think this is a principle that applies even to more things beyond just that of the Scripture. It's apropos for the Lord giving us the Word of God. There's not a need for miracles anymore. We've got what God says. There's not a need for miraculous tongues. You know, you being, say, a German and me preaching in English and the Lord taking and transitioning my speech to German in your ears. And it's not necessary for that to be anymore. At the beginning it was, because now the Word of God, the entire canon of Scripture, is available in German. And there are missionaries, if you will, in that example that have been sent to the German people as an example. He says, when we were children, we did childish things, but when we grew up, we put away what we had before and took on and applied what we learned going forward. We matured, we grew up, haven't we? I trust that we have. Maybe in some things we haven't, but we should, and that's the way it is to work. Parents, you don't want your children to be little and, I mean, I understand you want them to be little and cuddly and fun and all that, but it's not good for them if they stay like that. It's not good for them to stay like that. They are going to grow up. We need to help them grow up and meet the age where they're at. And so he says, we grow up, or we should grow up. He said, we spake, we understood, we thought. But when we grow up, we put away those things. He says, the way it is with us, we see through a glass darkly, verse 12, but one day we're going to be face to face. We see things, things in the scripture of our Lord. Sometimes it's fuzzy, and sometimes we got pieces and parts here, and you know, the Lord takes it and he brings it together, and boy, he really solids it up for us, and we rejoice in that. That's the way that we learn. We're doing that here this morning, I trust. For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. One day when we're with our Lord, we'll see him face to face, and we'll be there with our brothers and sisters, the children of God. And I tell you what, we'll know everything that we need to know. He says, but now, and now. So this is where we live right now. Abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest is charity. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning. We pray you'd bless. Thank you for the way that you have. Thank you, Father, for your people. Lord, we thank you for every member of Olmsted Baptist Church, those that are here, those that are not. We pray, Father, that you would help those not here, that they might be able to come. We thank you for those that you've healed and helped and raised up. We pray, Father, that you'd minister to our hearts, Father, and help us. We need conviction from you in your word, and Lord, help us to know how to order our lives, to walk with you, to be a good witness of you and representative of you until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us. Father, for those that are here and not saved, we pray, Father, that you touch them and stir them as you only can. Lord, save them, make them your own. Use us to be a good witness to them of good things in Christ. Help us, Father, we'd never be a stumbling block to any person. Father, help us, we pray, and just work in our midst as you only can. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Three remain, the three that remain for the mature child of God. It says here that the greatest of these, the largest of these, that's the indication of the word, is charity. That's the biggest one of them. We might think, and there are some that have written that, as we look on at the other scriptures, we kind of say, well, in this chapter, maybe it's the greatest one, but you and I know that it's not really. The Gill even gives into that, and I don't see that to be the case. It says here that the greatest of these is charity. This is written to this church not just to make a point with the situation that they find themselves in, but for this little bit here, just to take them and move them or shame them or direct them into the way that they need to go. But I think it's correct. It's correct. It's the word of God. And so we don't need to take and say, well, you know, charity is really greater than faith. Really, charity is greater than hope. Listen, it's not saying that faith and hope are gone. So, you know, I'm naturally an extremist, and we don't need to go there. It's not saying that faith and hope are gone, but it is saying that charity is the greatest of these, and we'll look to find out why. What is charity? Well, it's agape love. It's that is the Greek word. It's an abundance or a love feast, as the definition that we have, a feast of charity. And what it means is a whole bunch of it. That's what this word charity is talking about. It's funny how the English language is. We like to everybody really wants to be one that gives toward charity, but no one really wants to be a benefactor of charity. Isn't that something how our language has done that? But our Lord says that we need it. We need it. We need it coming and we need it going, okay? And so charity is love, and an abundance of that. And it comes from another Greek word, which means to love. It's kind of interesting how these Greek words are. In Jeremiah 31, verse number 3, it says here that the Lord hath appeared of old time unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We take a look at our Lord, and He's the example. You know, if we want to find out about charity, or this abundance of love, understand that this is love that does lead to action. It's not just words. It's not just talk about favor and desire towards and that, and a care and that. But it's talking about such an attribute and one that it causes them to do something for the other. And in Jeremiah there, our Lord is speaking about how the Lord has loved His nation and has drawn them. And I tell you what, you do a sit down reading and study about what our Lord's done with Israel and will do with Israel. It shows about His charity. His charity, it is indeed the Lord's love mindset upon His nation. Now, we are saved, that's what the Lord's done with us. You know, that's how years ago I came to understand this about the true love or the Lord's love. It is a mindset, because I was a filthy, wicked sinner, and my sins were putrefying in the sight of my holy and righteous God. Yet He purposed to save me. And then when I was doing all that mess and following after myself and following after the world, you know what? He still did send a witness in His Word and His Spirit to save me. And as our brother has pointed out in recent times, as we marvel about the Lord and we marvel about His great love, His great charity towards us, again, He came looking for us. He's got people, He's got folks that He saved, He's got churches that He's established, and He took them and just continued on with that word, that message, that gospel of His to come and reach us and move with His Spirit. You know, He's the one that is indeed proactive towards His people. And then, as the brothers recently pointed out, or not in some time here, our Lord yet saved us and purposed to save His children, knowing that even as His child, I would be a disobedient mess. And you know what? And He didn't say, you know what? I just check out on Jim Duke. But even as His child, He knows the beginning from the end and knows how I will sin against Him and would sin against Him, how I would be tempted, halted between two opinions and different things at times. And He yet did save me. Now that's love, isn't it? Because it's not something that the Lord just talked about, but it's something that our Lord did and has done. And He keeps us. In James chapter 2, we read this passage, and what is charity? What is this about charity? We find it here. This descriptor is that of faith, but it's right in here together with it. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, speaking to you and me, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, so it brings it right here to the household of faith, and destitute of daily food, the necessity of life. Now, it's not talking about cell phone contracts and motorcycles and boats and stuff like that. It's talking about the necessity of life, okay? Naked and destitute of daily food, okay? So let's be clear about that. And one of them say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Now, we know, and it's a blessing that we know what our brother says. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful for to the body, what doth it profit? It's a bunch of vain words, isn't it? Be warmed and filled. As I stand here filled, as I stand here warm, And I declare unto them, be it so unto thee, like my word would do something to them. Granted, we pray into the Father that he would work, but the thing is, you know what? If we've got it right here by us, and there is nakedness and there is hunger, we need to do what's right. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And so, faith is what's being spoken about. But you know what? Charity is exhibited when we go ahead and do what's necessary, what's needful to be done. I love you, but you know what? That doesn't make them not hungry. I love you, but that doesn't make them get any warmer. In 1 John chapter 3, our brother sums it up for us. What is charity? In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know why that's the standard? Because that's what the Lord's done, as we'll see in some verses to come. In our passage here in 1 Corinthians 13, we read these verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. We want to consider here this morning in this, the three that remain for the mature child of God, a subtitle, with no charity, all our works are vain. Brother James tells and declares to us that faith won't be shown without works, because our Lord has called us unto works. Okay, he has called us unto working for him. That's how we obey him. Our Lord Jesus didn't come to this earth after he became a man and just sit around telling everybody that he loved them. But he came to meet the needs that they have, right? He came and healed. He came and preached. He came and saved. He came and completed what was necessary for our salvation on Calvary and in his death and resurrection. Again, as we read in James, I'll continue on with the verse 18 there that I didn't read earlier. In James 2:18, yea, a man say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I think what the brother is getting at here, and our Lord is telling us, you know what? You can't show your love without works. You and I cannot show our love without doing. That's the way our Lord has shown his charity, his great love, his abundance of love toward us. Remember in John 14:15, our Lord said very plainly, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If we don't keep his commandments, then I am not showing that I love him. Because he has given me something to obey. He has. And it's contained here in the scriptures. Let's look at this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Great orator. Even knows heavenly language. Okay, that's what I see about this, the tongues of angels. It's not known to us. We can't know it. Maybe men like the Apostle Paul taken up into the third heaven and given visions of God. Maybe Brother Isaiah or Brother Ezekiel, as they were privy to see into the throne room of God. You know, maybe they did hear different ones speak. And our brother, our Lord tells us here, if I speak with those tongues, the best that there is upon this earth, even that of the heavenly, but lack this one thing of charity, It's compromised. It's empty. It falls short. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, now sounding brass and tinkling cymbals are really good when they're in order in an orchestra or some kind of band or something like that, playing good music. They fit. But tinkling brass and sounding brass and tinkling cymbal just by themselves after a while really get on your nerves. Because there's nothing there to complement. And plus, once it makes the sound, it's done all that it can do. There's nothing that lasts about it. You and I can maybe remember the sound of it. We might even refer to how pretty it was. But there is no substance that remains, is there? Great oratory and the ability to speak, and that even of a heavenly language, without charity, becomes a vain sound. A vain sound. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy," and understand, we prophesy to the extent that we repeat the prophecy given to us in the Scriptures. It says that the man of God needs to be apt to teach. It's a qualification of being a pastor. "Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries," you know, I know Brother Stephen revealed more mysteries about the eschatology and that. And I'm thankful for his studies in the Sunday morning Sunday school class. And I've been teasing him, you know, about opening things up for us and giving us, getting everything lined out real good for us. And he wants to. He tries. I'm just teasing him. But it takes the Spirit of God and the blessing of the Lord to understand and put things together in the Scripture. We need to be students of the Word of God. Let's say that the Lord has blessed you and me with great understanding of how the Word of God goes together. All the interconnect between the Old Testament and the New. All the understanding of those things revealed to us and things to come at the end days and the latter times and that. The mystery of godliness. That's the Lord Jesus coming in the flesh. If we have understanding of all these things. And he says here, "and all knowledge." Doctrine's very important to Onsted Baptist Church, isn't it? It should be. That's what we're doing right now, is we're learning. We're looking into the Word of God, trying to understand and learn and grow in what our Lord has given us. Many churches say, "Well, we don't believe in doctrine." You know what that's code for, is we don't believe in teaching anybody anything. Yeah, we don't believe in doctrine. That means we believe in ignorance. And ignorance is not good. The Lord tells us people die because of ignorance. But got all knowledge. I mean, got it all. Understand what the Lord says in His Word. It says there, doesn't your Bible say all knowledge? That's what it says, isn't it? All doctrine. Got them all lined up. Got them all down. Understand every whit about the life of Christ. Understand every whit about the operation of the church. Understand every whit about the end time events. Every aspect in the Scripture. Understand everything. All about Israel. What's happened, what's going on, and what's coming. We have all these things: prophecy, understanding of mysteries, and knowledge. Brothers and sisters, listen to what it says. "And though I have all faith," now, speaking about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Jim, you mean it gets down to where it could be this way? The Lord's speaking to us about it in His Word. All faith. Because when faith is mentioned in the Scripture, it's all directed towards Jesus. It's not in ourselves. It's not in one another. It's not in the church that our Lord has established here. It's faith in our Lord. "And though I have all faith," what's it say? "So that I could remove mountains and have not charity." Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. And Jesus answering and saith unto them, have faith in God, regarding the fig tree that he had cursed. It's symbolic of what was going on, what he was doing with Israel, I believe, as he went into the city. He said, this tree is done. They have rejected even their Savior that has come to them in his day. It's done. He cursed the fig tree. It wasn't even the time of figs, but he cursed the fig tree. And then they came back out and they saw that how instantly it had withered. And evidently it was ready for firewood. And it wasn't the time of figs. It was more towards the beginning of the season or the season prior. There were no figs on it. It was green, no doubt, full of sap from the oncoming of spring. That's getting ready to happen to us here, isn't it? And by the evening, it was kindling dry. And they knew that a tree could not wither and dry up so fast. They marveled at it, the scripture says. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So our brother tells us, if you have faith, if you and I have faith to be able to remove the mountain, wouldn't that be something to have an excavation project and say, this bank and rise? Be you removed over there into the ditch. Our jaws would drop open. But the Lord says that's the kind of faith that is possible. And the brother refers to it here. We have the gift of prophecy, the understanding of mysteries and knowledge, doctrine of the Word of God, and all faith in our Lord so that we could remove mountains and have not this abounding love, charity. He says, I am nothing. In verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, we mention these scriptures in James because of this very example here. People rail on the grace of God and, you know, why didn't the Lord, I believe that the Lord's sacrifice, his blood, was able to save every man, woman, boy, and girl ever born. Well, they're not born men and women, are they? But every person born, the ability of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ was able to save every soul. You know, but the Lord didn't choose to do so. That's his business. What you need to be concerned about is you and where you stand, okay? Not figuring that stuff out. It's there for us, for the children of God to know. They rail on the grace of God about him not saving all men. And yet mankind, we pick and choose who we want to use our ability towards, don't we? Somebody is concerned about poverty. It's very, very few that have given all their living to help out with poverty and yet turn around and rail on the Lord. He says here, every bit of what I have in my cupboards is gone. Everything I own. Bank accounts cleaned out. I've given everything that I have to feed the poor. That'd be amiable, wouldn't it? And though I give my body to be burned, I think about the saints mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11 and the things that they suffered. Even one that would be a martyr. You think about Brother Stephen. You think about how he gave his life and the things that he said there. So in line and so typical of his Savior and his Lord. He said, don't lay this sin to their charge. He had a love for the people that was even killing him. He went to his nation, went to his brethren, stood there telling the word of God unto them and gave his life to be a martyr for the sake of the Lord and his witness and testimony. Our brother writes and says, though I bestow my goods to feed the poor and though I give my body to be burned, the greatest thing that we can give is our own physical lives. What's he say? And though I and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. With no charity, all our works are vain. With no abounding love of the Lord in us, our works are vain. Isn't that what he's saying? Look what he says here. He says, though I speak with these great tongues, though I have this knowledge of the Scripture, and though I give of myself, if I don't have charity, what's it say about me? I'm just an empty noise. I say nothing. Verse number two, I am nothing. Verse number three, I am profited nothing. You know, read this passage for a long, long time and never have understood the weight and the gravity of that. Charity. Brother Jim, how is it? What's he mean, have charity? To have, what are the words that are used? Have not charity. Have not charity, verse number two. Have not charity, verse number three. If I don't have it, what's that mean? How can I know? I want it. I want to make sure that I do. Understand this of having charity within us. It is indeed something that we add to faith, and we can find that over in 2 Peter chapter 1. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit, this of agape love. Charity is directed towards someone. That's how it's known and manifested. Again, we just can't talk about it. It's known of us, whether we do have it or not. Toward whom then? Well, towards God and towards our fellow man. Just like our Lord, He has charity, doesn't He? And He's exhibited it towards us, who have been in dire need of it indeed. You know what? You and I, if we have charity, we have it towards our God, our Lord and our Savior, and towards our fellow man. It all comes down to our relationships. You understand that all of our relationships are three-way at the very least. At the very least. Brother Jim, what do you mean? You know what? I'm told how to love my wife. And we have that relationship between she and myself. But you know what? Who instructs us and who's involved in that relationship? God Almighty. God, my Savior, my Lord, tells me how I'm to be to my wife. He tells me that I'm to love my wife as the Lord loved His church and gave Himself for it. Our Lord tells us how we are to have a relationship with our children, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with our employers, with our neighbors. Our Lord is involved in every relationship. And what is His directive for us to have? Charity, indeed, in them all. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, familiar passage to you, I trust. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's all. Just everything. The Lord makes it simple. That way we don't have to parse and make sure that we get the percentages right. He says love Him with everything. Love Him with everything that you've got, everything that there is in you. In Mark chapter 12, verse number 30, our Lord says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Interesting, the Lord doesn't tell us, because He adds to that. He adds to what's said in the Old Testament. Just making it clearer still. Telling us that we need to observe what He has done. He has certainly loved His neighbor, hadn't He? He doesn't say that we're to love, that I'm to love my neighbor as my best friend. Or I'm to love my neighbor as somebody else, maybe, that I would be tempted to show less toward. But He says, just so you'll know, Jim, just so you'll really get it, You need to love your neighbor the way you love you. It's a tall order. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some prayer. But you know what? We can. We can because our Lord has told us to do so. The three that remain for the mature child of God, charity, faith, and hope, the greatest of these being charity. See, we are called as the children of God to be like our Lord. We are called, and our Lord is working to conform us to the image of our Savior. That we, that Jim Duke goes away, and that Christ is lifted up in this life. You too. That's the reason we need to be charitable. And we need to have this love for our Lord and for our fellow man. Do you think that Jesus did anything that he did for our sakes not in love? Well, I tell you what, the Father sure loved us, didn't he? And he does. In John 3:16, listen, for God so loved. For God so loved the world, and that's talking about the cosmos, that's the Greek word, that's talking about all of his creation. For God so loved his creation. For God so loved his creation that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Charity is a great attribute of our Lord. And I submit to you to consider and think about as we go through these messages and go through the Scripture that it is our Lord is equal in all attributes, as the brother taught us. But I think that you and I will find as we go into the Scriptures that it is love that is that all-encompassing attribute that directs and leads to the others. Amen. God is love.
Amen.
Now when the Scripture tells us and we know and come to understand that God is love, it doesn't mean that he's nothing else. See, that's what man wants to do. But he is love. He is love. And as his children, we need to be too. We need to be too. We need to have things in their order and the right balance. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn over here to Matthew chapter 5 and we'll close. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus says in verse number 43 of Matthew 5, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." If you'll allow me to say, because that's what I've done. Now, I'm not talking about Jim Duke. I'm talking about the Lord speaking. Do you really want to be you, like you? Do you really want to be like somebody famous in this world? Do you want to be like Satan? Or do you want to be like our Lord? I'll tell you what, I want to be like our Lord. That ye may be the children of God. He says, "Do so that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven." That there might be a witness unto the glory of God that that person loves their Lord. That they love God Almighty. And they just don't talk about it. They show it. Not that we receive the accolades and praise of men. That's not the goal. But that our Lord might be glorified. That ye may do these things, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Listen, because here's how he works. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He did today, didn't he? And sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. That's what he does. The farmers are counting on it happening. They may not give God one lick of acknowledgement that he does so, but they're hoping that that rain comes in the right time. You and I are blessed to know that it's from him. He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. He says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? He says, be ye therefore perfect, that is mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The three that remain for the mature child of God, and with no charity, all our works are vain.